to every. Are you
sing it unto him now?
Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a little, will you? Sanctuary before you.
Amen and amen. This to be a sanctuary for the Lord. That's your desire? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 5. We'll read verse 1 and then Isaiah 29. Revelation 5, verse 1 and Isaiah 29. Went home to check on Abby Grace, and she hadn't vomited anymore. She vomited four times, and then it stopped. So they told them just to give her light stuff, you know, fluids until about 8 hours in time, and then they could go back to giving her light foods and all. But just pray that everything will be all right. She was happy and playing and all, so that's the main thing. Terrence and Lisa still running to the bathroom, so it's just going through everybody. Years ago, we had a thing it went through the family, and I think every one of us but Josh and somebody else is on a couple out of the whole family that didn't go through. So, you know, because we're always so close together and doing, so, you know, it just passes through. But, you know, just remember that. Remember Peggy, she's still having a lot of troubles and all with her neck and things, and just keep her in your prayers that the Lord would bless and lead each one. Amen. If I miss any announcements, we didn't get to go to the fellowship meeting yesterday. Because we chose not to because of the weather conditions. We probably could have made it, but it was so much going over the mountains until, you know, it would just have been possible coming back that we might have run into problems. And I think most everybody was missing, you know, but the Lord willing, the next fellowship meeting will be at Brother Pageant's on the third Saturday in February. And I think it's Brother Tim Calhoun's in March. I believe that's correct. So just remember these. Amen. Any other announcements? I always miss something. Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your love that you've bestowed upon us because we believe you and your word, Father, and your understanding. And we know that you're trying your best to get it unto us. Lord, help us to get ourselves out of the way that we may see you made manifest among us. Forgive our sins and lead us. Father, as we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. Touch each one of these that are sick, Father, and deliver. We know that you are a healer, and you said you sent your word and healed us. And Father, we know it's in an hour when there's sickness on every hand, but we plead the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for all of these that are sick and the things, Father. And we believe that you'll bring us all out of it and make manifest your love through thy word. Guide us now. Forgive our sins because we want to stand complete in you. We know that we fail you every day, but you've never failed us. But guide us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5:1, we'll just read that verse 1, and then we'll go to Isaiah 29. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now let's go to Isaiah. Verse 11. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book. Now listen to it. The vision has, you know, the presence of the Lord would be with the prophet and he'd say, you know, it's a vision, etc. See? But what did he say? Of a book, as the words of a book, that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned. saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the book. Because that's what we want to talk about now for a little bit. And just pray with us and for us that the Lord would try to bring out what we have on our mind. I pray that you enjoyed this morning's message and that you will listen to it if you didn't get to and you missed it. I was trying to bring out a point, and I'll just keep mentioning that same point for a little bit. That, Brother Branham, I gave it to you. It's number 12 on your notes when you get them. It's on the message called, it's Revelations chapter 5, part 2. See, Revelation, especially it's Revelations 5. Now, 4 and 5 is the same because of what you're seeing. And in 4, you see the book. You see the throne. Then you see one on the throne. Then you see all the 24 elders, all the things around the throne, in the midst of the throne. And you're seeing the bride of Jesus Christ on the throne in glory. All right? Now, I'm not going to get to the main meat of what I want to this afternoon, I know. And I will try to continue on to speak on it, but I just want to keep it to a certain spot. So bear with me if your mind runs on off and says, well, we need to go. Just bear with me and stay with me for a while to where that I can speak to you the way I want to. Because Brother Brown said, remember, this is not a verse-by-verse account. You know, like explaining something verse-by-verse-by-verse. He said, this is a scene. A scene, you know. All right, now what is a scene? You go down to the movie house and they say, we're going to show you, because we used to, especially when we were kids, we'd go to the old movie theaters. And turn that down just a little bit, wait, or turn it back around some way. It just got kind of warm up here this morning. But we'd go and they'd say, well, now they show you a preview of what was going to be in the next, you know, right. Saturday. Because we'd always go on Saturday. You know, they didn't have one day a week back when I was a kid, you know, and you didn't have all these theaters where you could go pick your choices of what you're going. You only went to one. And it'd give you a preview, though, of what was going to be the next week. All right? And what that was a scene. You know, it was a scene out of that movie. Right. See, they just took a little excerpt, every way you would say it, and just a little part of that movie, and they showed it to you, and it was a scene of what would be in the next movie. Well, I think of the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, as not a verse-by-verse description as much as it is the scene of what's going on. This is in heaven. 4:1, John goes up to heaven. Huh? Now he sees, an open door and a voice. Then he hears that voice. Then he sees the throne. Right? Then he sees one sitting on the throne. And as I showed you this morning, Brother Brown said, in other words, when he first looked, there wasn't nothing on the throne. But then when he looked back, he could see the throne. See, the scene was unfolding. You know, it was unfolding as to what was taking place. All right? Then you seen the 24 elders round about. Then you saw a rainbow, and you could preach on each one of them and what they mean and all of the things, you know, that the prophet has brought out about it. It would be good for you to go back in the Church Age series and get about probably, I guess it's book 12, 13, 14, and up to 15 of the Church Age individual book series that was done in 61 and read those. It would be real interesting because he explains in detail each one of these things we're talking about. All right. But see, then when you come through, then you've seen, as I said this morning, you've seen the four combat beasts, and that's the Spirit of Christ down through the seven church ages. See, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. But it said it was in the midst of the throne. All right. See, then don't try to figure out how you could do this and how you could do that. Just think about What's going on? What would you see if you was John? And you were chosen to take up and see this. So you would see a throne, and then you see one on the throne. You know, and I mean, we look away and then naturally and would look back to the form of understanding. All right. But now you look, see, and after you see the 24 elders and all that, and you find out that that's the bride of Jesus Christ in glory after the rapture. All right. Now, what I said, it's going to be interesting when we get over just a little bit further. It's hard for me to hold it, but I'll try my best to and not say much about what I have on my mind. But, now you see Revelation 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. All right, see, you're seeing it unfold. Progressive understanding or revelation to you as it keeps unfolding. It keeps unfolding, and the more you look, the more you see. Go back there in my office and look at that picture, and the first time you look at it, you'll think it's just Jesus Christ. But yet, when you keep looking at it, you'll keep seeing things, and you see Jesus as a baby, and you see a cross, and if you keep looking, you'll see even in the eyeballs there's crosses, and there's a lot of things to be seen if you'll just keep looking. See, and that's the way we do in understanding God. He doesn't reveal everything at one time. He reveals it in stages unto us, gradually unfolding the revelation. But he unfolds it to show the scene in heaven. Now, this is what's going to be hard to follow later on, so I'll mention it to you, because the Lamb has to take the book. When does that transpire? And what is that? See? So don't get over there, you know, just kind of bear with me and be a little slow. But when you get there, you'll understand. It'll unfold, I hope, unto us that we can follow a lot of what's going on, because it's a scene of something. All right. Now, looking at that scene, but I want to make sure you understood one thing this morning. I told you that there's nowhere in the Bible that God shows you you're wrong and then shows you you're right. He shows you you're right, then shows you what your problems are. I wish you'd study the Bible from that form one time. It would change your thinking. To not try to read it to find out how bad you are, you already know how bad you are. Don't kid nobody else. Then you're just fooling your own self. I don't have to tell you what's wrong with you. But don't never get to the position until you justify your wrong so much, until your wrongs becomes right. I used to ride to work with a fella by the name of Billy Free, and Billy had lied so much till he believed his own lies. Well, that was all right for him to believe his own lies and tell them over and over again. But when he'd tell it three different ways going to work, you know, and then when we'd get to work, he'd tell it a fourth way, and it'd all be different, and then he'd try to make me agree with what he had told me before was right. And I'd say, part right. You know, because he'd lied so much, you couldn't depend on nothing he said. All right? And see, that way, you can't depend upon that. But the Bible's not written that way. The Bible shows you how perfect you are. Then it shows you problems. But a new birth is what shows you your problems. I hope you were understanding that. Get the new birth. That's what we all need, is the new birth. Get the new birth, and it will show our problems. But then where our trouble is we claim the new birth, and then we go on doing what we're doing and saying, well, the Lord don't condemn me for doing that. He must like that, because he doesn't tell me. See, that's blindness. That type of person is bound for hell. That's the best way to say it. Because they're deceived so much they can never realize that they're wrong. It's a wonderful opportunity to realize you're wrong, but then realize you're wrong and do something about it. To realize you're wrong won't do you any good, but to realize you're wrong and do something about it. All right? But now, see, that was what I was trying to say. The new birth will show you what's wrong with you. But if you go on justifying your ways, then you don't have the new birth. Now, how much harder could I preach? Everybody says, Brother Dale, you don't preach hard enough. You don't beat us to death to the Word. How much harder than that right there? When Brother Branham made the statement one day, he said, there is no way that you can have the new birth and differ with the Word. You know that tore me to pieces. You know why? Because I had a lot of difference. How about you? I had a lot of problems with what he was saying. What about you? But see, when he said that, I realized real quick there was something wrong with me, and that's basically when I realized I wasn't born again. And I wouldn't like most of you that claim that you come into the message and prove you got the new birth. For 2 years, I sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost before I ever confessed to having it. And I told you this morning, and I'll keep telling you, I had still rather go through life seeking God and find out I already had it than to get there and find out I didn't have it. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. But see, we're so religious until, like I said, the Baptists will say, but you can't. I can't deny the Father, because if I deny the Father, I'll deny the Son. You know, I got to give them all part. You know, if I say I'm lost, Brother Dale's trying to get me to say I'm lost. No, I'm not trying to get you to say you're lost. I'm trying to get you to realize you are.
Right, amen. Right. Amen.
Okay? Whether you say it or not, ain't going to change a thing.
Right.
But I'm trying to get you to realize you're lost and to do something about it.
Right.
And get the new birth.
Right.
See, then it will reveal the Word to you. That way, then you know whether or not it was the Spirit of God. Because he said if it's Spirit in you agrees with the Word.
Right.
Now, I'm not throwing off on the man over here. This man sat right over here the other day, or here a few weeks ago in a Bible study, and he said God showed him one true and living God. Showed it to him, brought him back, showed it to him, brought him back about 3 or 4 times, taking him to a position and bringing him back, showing it to him. All right? One day I'll find out if he believes that, because I'll ask him about the water baptism. Then if he rejects that, then I don't care how much he says he saw. He didn't see it. But see that, you think I'm not hard. That's the hardest to be, because that cuts to the core with everybody in here, including myself. Gets down where we live at. All right, now let's move on. See, watch now. This is not a verse by verse. It is a scene. A scene in heaven. Now, how did we get chapter 4 in the order that we got it, or the talking of it? Is that we saw where that throne originated on earth. Right? The throne, Father's throne, originated on earth. So when Jesus went up, he come right back down in spirit form, soul, the new birth, to make manifest the Father's throne on earth.
Right.
All right. And when that comes to the total matching, then we'll go there, because there's not anything left for us.
Right.
All right. See, we're not over where the seals are to Israel and things.
Right.
We're not into that condition. All right. So then it's so hard to preach, because, see, like one service I'm trying to bring it one way, and one I'm trying to bring something else to tie together, and then you'll think, well, he's contradicting himself. Because one time he's trying to get us to think this is after the rapture, and the other time he's trying to get us to say this is going on now. Well, see, that's what I'm trying to get you to do. If that's confusing, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get you to see what's going on now is what John saw when he went up. Because that throne originated on earth in the hearts of the saints. And he had to get on that throne by the new birth in your heart. And that's what took place on the day of Pentecost, by the new birth. So that made the Father's throne on earth, or, as we would call it, the seven church ages, under Son of God. All right? Now, see, then we can see all the other things. We see where the 24 elders came from. Well, listen, what was it when Melchizedek came to Abraham and said, How can I withhold from Him? How can I withhold from Him the things? Being He's the heir of all things. But we're the heir of all things. We're in the end time. How can you withhold in this end time from the bride of Jesus Christ? All right, He can't do it. That's what He's doing. He's revealing Himself. All right. See, unto you and I. And it's in a seen form. All right. 4 and 20 elders. Where were they? 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. Where were they? Back here. We never were there where they were, because they're the 12 apostles and 12 prophets. You know, apostles, I mean, 12 patriarchs. And those patriarchs was in the Old Testament. The apostles was on earth and done passed on into glory. All right. So then we could say, well, that doesn't really show me there, which I believe it should, but you know, we can still our human mind. That's why I like it that way. That's why that I like the way God deals with me. He doesn't leave loopholes in what I'm trying to say. You may think it is, but come, we'll talk about it. But see, you could say, well, I just don't see myself exactly in the you know, the 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs. But see, we ought to realize that we're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, all right? But then we went on over now. We went on over to the four combat beasts. Now that was the Spirit of God down through the ages. Now, when we get on down just a little bit further, we're going to see that Brother Branham said, this Lamb, that comes and takes the book. And you see why I want to get over there so bad. That it comes from the Father's throne. It's not a lamb just appears out of somewhere, you know. He's got a place He comes from. He comes from the Father's throne. So it's got to be something down here now. The thunders don't sound in heaven, they sound on earth. All right, the seals are broke on earth. You see why I want to get over there, but let's hold back now. But see, those four combat beasts is the Spirit of Christ down through the ages. And there then is the Bride of Christ sitting in glory after the rapture. And that's what John sees. Because he sees all the way. But he sees where it starts. It starts here. And its climax is there. You understand? What John sees in Revelation 4 and 5 as a finished product, Brother Branham took the finished product and preached how that got there. Right? He just didn't say, well, there it is. There's up in heaven. There's the 24 elders. There's the combat beast all up in heaven. And we saw out of pro. We're just coasting along waiting on something to happen. No, He showed you where they all come from and how they got to where they were finally shown. Alright? Then we see the bride sitting there in glory as the combat beast, because it's the Spirit of Christ in her. Alright? And we are the ones, and the combat beast, it's not just the angels of heaven that sang, holy, holy, holy. Verse 8 of the 4th chapter, those combat beasts cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And that's just not four beasts sitting up there, lion, ox, man, you. No, that's the people.
Amen.
Listen, that's the people that made that spirit manifest upon the earth. Right? So God shows us already there. We can look and we can see the man was here. You know, the lion, the ox, and the man. We can see up to there and see those. Right. But that's where everybody in the message, see, when they come to the eagle, Brother Branham. No. This is a prophetic age with a prophetic people to understand. That's why you go down the road and you look out here and you see on these people that don't even know anything about it and they got eagles over their carport. Everybody's got an eagle. Drive down the highway. And you look and you see a truck pass by. Eagle Transport, you say. I'd like to run that guy down. Yeah. And he'd probably get in trouble to run him down and say, "Hey, brother!
What do you mean, brother?"
But see, they don't know the Spirit. But the Spirit is here. Of the eagle. Huh? But to see where we are. God is showing us already there. Not showing us how we traveled to get there. The prophet tells us how we travel to get there. We're living how we travel to get there. All right? But see, it's shown there. All right? Then when we hit chapter 5, we see more of it unfold. We see the throne. What did we read now? Verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals." All right. So what do you see? The throne. Chapter 4, same one, right? Who is that? Almighty God. Who is that? Bride form. With her sitting on the throne. He said, "Well, I just can't..." Well, then let's follow it the way then the prophet would follow it then. Because that's the only way we can get what we're doing anyway, and that's where I get it from. Right? Well, see, we see the throne. We see one sitting on the throne. But now we see in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. All right, we go back and we realize that God doesn't have a big right hand. So we realize that's the power and authority that is given. To who? The bride of Christ. And we see then in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a book. A book in the hand of the one on the throne. In the same hand, that's the power, the right hand. Now, what is the book? Where did the book come from? I gave you quotes where it could be on the internet where other people could pick it up, but I know you understand it. But see, in the time of John, it was not a book. That word was used later when the translation came on in. I don't know really where it even appeared in the original Greeks in some of that form. It appears probably more in modern day language. Because it was a scroll. The Bible wasn't written in book form. I got one in here where Brother Brown said it's not a four-cornered book. So I gave you those. See? It wasn't a book, it was a scroll. That's paragraph 35, Unchangeable God. And paragraph 165, Revelation chapter 5, part 2. And then page 117, which is the first seal of the seal book. Just giving you a few. And giving them to where people out there could read it that's never heard these things. It wasn't originally a book. All right. Now, the prophet said in the seal book, if it was this kind of a book, you would have 7 straps on it. But it's not that away. It's a scroll. All right. The book of Isaiah is a scroll. Okay. That scroll, is once it's written, it's rolled up and then they tie a piece around it. To do what? To seal it up. A tab on that part that's tied around the book is written Isaiah. So they know which one it is. Because it's a scroll, it's not a book. The word book come on later. See? All right? And see, it's better understood by the word scroll because you can see then that it would be something rolled up and a tab sticking out that could say first seal. Then another scroll containing so much of the Bible, because what you'd have to do is divide it into 7 parts. And what it would do, it would roll up, you know, so many of them would make 1, so many would make 2, so and then you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then when you would write it as far as the book of Revelation would show it, you would see a tab sticking out and it would say seal number one, seal number two, seal number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. But it would be something that was sealed up. And that's why I read you the scripture there in Isaiah, that the learned man says, I can't read it because it's sealed. Right. Now, I hate to say it about most of us, but most of us fit in the second category of the unlearned. And he says, I can't read it because I'm not learned. Now, see, because we think, because we read something, we understand. Right? We think, well, I read that. Well, I know what Brother Brown said on that tape. I just heard it the other day. I just read that book. And somebody come along and say, what about this? I didn't hear that in the book. I hear that on the tape. I didn't read that in the book. And then you take the book and roll it out and say, well, here, read it. Your book read different than mine. They both put out by the same people. Is this what your book says? Well, yeah, it does. I just didn't see that. The worst problem we got is the unlearned. Because the one that's smart, that's why I read that. I was looking at that scripture. I've had it written there in Revelation for a long time, and I forgot how I used it, you know, way back years ago, and I might not even use it that way. And I thought, what is Isaiah 29? Why have I got that written over here in chapter 5? You know? See, a learned man is smart enough to know when he's defeated. An unlearned man will shadowbox the rest of his days trying to prove he's still alright. You ever seen boxers? They call out on their feet. They're standing there telling him, come on. Tell him, come on. Tell him, come on. They don't even know what ring he's in, you know. Don't even know where he's at or nothing. But tell him, come on, don't take me out of fight. I'm ready. Yeah. But if a man's got any sense at all, he realizes when his eyeballs, as Brother Tom says, when they hit you hard enough to knock the wax all the way through the head and it comes out the other ear, you begin to realize the fight's over. You know. I mean, you may think you can fight, but it's over with because you don't have enough sense. But in the scripture, see, a learned man realizes the book is sealed. All of those theologians in Brother Branham's day, they didn't have no trouble reading that the book was sealed, and sealed with seven seals. And they would just tell you. I remember Billy Graham, something he said about like that. He said, the Trinity's not been revealed, which I agreed with him, but he was talking about the Godhead. And I thought, yeah, that's right, the Godhead ain't been revealed to you, that's why you're a Trinitarian. But he did have enough to say, it's not been revealed. Where others would stammer around about it, you know, to try to prove some point. That's an unlearned person. Right? So now, get the point, I think we fit in the unlearned mostly. I'm talking about myself and you too. That we need a whole lot of understanding. And for God to speak to us. See, for us to have the correct revelation. Alright. But now, listen. That book is in the right hand. So it's not a big hand. Whatever is in the hand, or whatever the hand would signify, to me would be the same as the book. They're the self thing, you know, the same. It's not a hand that's power and then a book laying there with no power. That's what I want to hold it to today. I want to hold it to one thing. I want us to think about the Bible unfolding. The unfolding of the scene is the title, Brother Al. Or scene unfolding is the correct way. Because a scene in glory, and you could see a scene, If you didn't know what the things were, I remember a certain brother in this message, I listened to about 11 of his tapes trying to get an understanding. I didn't agree with him, but I listened and listened honestly. And every once in a while, I would hear him say, you remember so-and-so when you got engaged? Boy, everybody just, glory! And he'd say, you remember, say, first when you met, you know. And you got engaged. You remember when you got married? And everybody just, glory, glory to them. And I love my wife. But I didn't think he was talking about his wife. You know. I thought he was talking about the church and the people. Well, I come find out that. I went to Brother Harris. He knew about it. I said, this man's speaking in some kind of a coded symbols, right? He said, yeah, if you knew what the codes were. I said, well, I kind of believe what the codes are is when he first met his message, not Brother Branham's message. He said, yeah. And I said, then he said, when you got engaged, that's when you took the message, you know. Oh, I really believe it. This is wonderful. See, then all at once you got married. Well, boy, you just sold out to the message. See, Brother Harris said, well, you got his symbols right. That's what he's talking about. All right. But my point is, what if I'd have seen that in a scene? Would have I understood? You can see a scene and not know what it's about. Wouldn't it be something to go back and take a scene of a chariot jostling in the streets and everything and tell Naaman and say, here's what you saw. Naaman would probably look at it and say, that's exactly right. But everybody else around there would look at it and say, man, what kind of a scene is that? We don't know what you're talking about, right? See, Naaman might have seen it. Buicks and Oldsmobiles run into each other, run down the highway, run like lightning with the headlights on. But everybody else wouldn't have understood that because he couldn't understand the scene. Now, if me and you don't have the background of chapter 1, and where we fit in there, and the one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks like unto the Son of Man, then we go through the church ages. That's why the prophet had to do that, see. And bringing us up through into chapter 4, and then going from chapter 4 into chapter 5. It's like going to school. Right? How many of you remember the first time they told you, you know? Maybe mama taught it, daddy taught it to you before school, but I'm just illustrating on it. 1 + 1 = 2. I didn't know that, did you? 2 + 2 = 4. You know, you just start the multiplication table. All right, you're learning. You're learning, right? See, a scene is opening in your brain. The ends of the nerves are beginning to burn together to where that it causes you to be able to remember. And as you're doing it, you're looking at something unfold. They don't have to, after a while, put down 1 + 1 = 2. It just goes across. And, right? Because you got into the scene. So if we get into the scene of Revelation 5, we'll be able to understand. So John sees one sitting on the throne. All right. Now, if this one was the one that comes from chapter 4, which would be the scene as it unfolds, so chapter 5 wouldn't reveal another one sitting there. And remember also, just because the bride is sitting on the throne with him doesn't make them out of it. It's still him. Come on. She's in him. There's still just one sitting on the throne. You know what's going to happen when we get to glory? And all of us are sitting on the throne. There's only going to be one on the throne. Right? But see, to a person that couldn't understand, they'd look up and see Millions sitting across there. But it's like Brother Branham said about, who was it? When he went down to Sodom, the two angels that Lot saw, he said, "My Lord's." He said, if Abraham would have seen, I don't forget how many, but Brother Richard always quotes 50 or 100 or something. If Abraham had seen 100 people, he'd have said, "My Lord." Why? Because he would have knew there wasn't but one God. He was a prophet. Right? So when you're looking at the throne, don't think about that. See, think about that it all just keeps coming in together. The scene keeps unfolding until you see the bride sitting there with him. Now listen. Where did this book come from? If there's a book there, it had to have its origin or beginning on earth. True. And then it would come to a climax in glory. Well, is he holding a King James Version? Scofield, Thompson Chain, World, Nelson, or whatever, you know. No, it's not that. It's a New English Version. What kind of a book are you talking about? And how did that book get there? All right. I thought we believed that we were the children of God. I thought we taught it that way. And I thought we believed that the Bible is a record of God's family while they're on earth. All right? So, it's not a King James Version. All right? It's a group of people. Brother Branham says, the book is sealed, and you're sealed with the book. This Bible, is a record of mankind while they're on earth. It shows our beginning, and it shows all the way to the future home, the ending and all of the things. So what kind of a book is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne? Is the bride sitting there? Then there's a book sitting there. No. That's my whole point. If you don't get nothing, that's all I want you to see. If you don't get nothing out of the message this evening, all I want you to see is one thing. Because it'll be very valuable later. That Danny, the bride of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament saints, that's why the 24 and 20 elders is there. Because they're in the book. 12 of those are the Old Testament patriarchs, which would cover the Old Testament. And the apostles is the New Testament. Brother Branham even called it the two wings of an eagle. The Old and New Testament. But see, you are that book. That's the same description as Revelation 4, as the one standing in the midst of all of this, the seven spirits, the combat beast, and now you see it in a book form. Coming down to something we can see and relate to. Like I said, you could say, I just can't see the 24 elders. Go to the combat beast and you see yourself sitting there. Well, I just can't hardly follow that. I don't know anything about the combat beast. Some of you new ones. Well, see, then just think about it. God made a record of mankind upon this earth. And that book is in his hand. All right? It's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. We'll find out later that the Lamb takes the book, looses the seals. To where you can read the book. And see your name written in the book. He said, but my name's not in the book. But Brother Brown said, Armand Neville wasn't in the book. He said, but it's what's going on earth while Armand Neville is alive. He said, that puts his name in the book. Well, why can't you see what the Bible really is? The Bible is a record of you on earth that shows you the book of life. I'm pausing for you to think. And it shows the Lamb's book of life. The book of life shows you as part of a religious order when you become sanctification. That's what your prophet said. Your name goes on the book. But the Lamb's book of life is Revelation 13:8 that was written before the foundation of the world, the eternal part. Now who's that about? But see, we want to look at a book. That's why people can't understand it. Then they go to the seals and you say, what's the first seal? White horse rider. What's white horse? That's Antichrist. And Brother Branham says, and they asked him a question, does Thessalonians, a man of sin, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, does that fulfill the first seal? And he says, yes. The bride's done gone into rapture before the first seal opens on earth. I said that the way I meant it. On earth. Because we're seeing today what happened in glory 2,000 years ago. Because that's when John was taken up and saw it. But he saw all the way to the end and saw us all sitting there. It's not a book like with pages in it. It's the book of redemption. It's showing you how you receive eternal life. The Bible is a record of us on earth. You want to know our beginning? Read it in Genesis. You want to know where we're going? Read it in Revelation. Yeah, but I thought this was just a book that I could read. And, you know, no, you're looking at letters on a page. I'm not looking at letters on a page when the book I'm talking about. Because the book I'm talking about is in the one that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. It's not a paperback book or a hardbound. It's a group of people that have become one with the one sitting on the throne. When we get there, we won't look up on the throne and see one sitting there and there's a book. Because we'll know where we're sitting at. We'll be sitting in His throne. Not on, you remember the prophet said, but in His throne. See? The book. That's why it says what it says. And I've seen people stumble over this and stumble and stammer around about it, but let's read over again what we just read. So I wanted to stay with one verse this morning, I mean this evening, and then we'll get back later to going on with the other. So you're wanting to go on with the Lamb and who's not worthy and all this. But let's just stay with one thing. There is nobody worthy to take the book. No man on earth, I don't care Brother Branham or who, is worthy to take the book. You know why he's not worthy to take it? Because all he thinks about is a book. Brother Brown said it wasn't a lamb, said he took the book. But listen to what it says. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and a book written within and on the backside. Now, if English bears out any form of whatsoever, your comma is after backside. Comma means pause, think on these things. I'm not an English major, but I do happen to know. Period means stop, start off on something else. You know, exclamation point means gets excited about what you're saying. But read it. This book is written within and on the backside. So the writing is inside and on the outside. Oh, now wait just a minute now. I heard so-and-so preach that. Okay, go follow so-and-so. You say, yeah, but there can't be no writing outside the book. That'd be adding to. It is for your kind of book. It is for what you're thinking. What I said, a smart man, Isaiah says, I don't understand what's being said. Because that's a funny looking book. Because it doesn't say that it's written on the inside and nothing on the outside. A learned man would say, I don't understand. Because I know if you add one word or take away one, you know, see, he would know. That's easy to understand where the seal is at. On the outside. So if it's a scroll, it's rolled up, a tab sticks out, into the tab it says Isaiah. Or first seal. That's easy to comprehend, isn't it? But what about a book that's written on the inside and on the backside? All right now. You might not agree with this. I see some of your faces. Evidently you must not. But this is a little more advanced than we've ever tried to bring. I've tried to bring this out before, but I'm trying to nail it down. You go back to the seals, you'll find me expressing that you can't add to the book, 1982, 83. I said that then, I say that now. You can't add to the book. You can't take away from the book. All right, now let me put you in a category. Brother Dale, you're adding. See, you think I don't know what those spirits are doing right now. So I would think about it. God forgive you. See, you're saying, you're adding to the book because you're putting something outside. But what if there is something outside? You just took away. Your choice. You see? Because I'm not talking about a paperback book. And I'm not talking about a scroll. I'm talking about a group of people. I'm talking about a bride of Jesus Christ. A group of people. Because when you tell me I'm not right, then wait till we get on over a little bit further and you find out that lamb that takes that book has seven horns and seven eyes. And that's the Spirit of God down through the ages. It's up to you. But listen, there's only one kind of a book that can in any way fit what I'm talking about. And that's a book of people. Because I thought, we believed, that the new birth was to be in your heart. and that the virtues were to be manifested through your body. Is that right? See, you're the only kind of book, Brother Gary, that can fit in this category. Because you have writing inside of you, and you have writing outside of you. That's where our trouble is at. The outside of us is displaying something that's not on the inside. An odd book, isn't it? You tell me what kind of book you can put there to make it fit like this. Because the prophet said if it was this kind of book, it'd have seven straps on it. He said, but it's not a book, it's a scroll. So then what kind of a book is he trying to describe? A group of people. I'm going just a step further than I intended to, but you go over there in the Bible and you find out that they made deeds and things to properties when they were going into, especially when they were going to go into captivity or being taken, you know, captive. They would write those things out and they'd make a scroll type of a thing. It was a deed. And they'd take those deeds and you know what they'd do with them? They'd put them in an earthly vessel. And they'd bury him. You know, a pot. An earthly vessel. A pot. And they would bury him in the ground. And when they came back out of captivity, they'd go dig those things up and they'd say, this is what so-and-so owns. But you see, there's only one earthen vessel that'll ever fit in any category to understand how that all the deeds and the things could be put together. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the earthly vessel that everything is sealed up in. Right? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the only one that can break the seals. But the Lamb can't reveal to you what's in a seal, even though He breaks it. Because only the Holy Spirit can reveal. So you better have one true and living God in correct order. Do you see what I'm talking about? A constant unfolding. Now we see one sitting on the throne. He has a right hand. He has a book in his right hand. See, that book is you. Because you've got writing on the inside of you, and you got writing on the backside of you. But to the world, you're still sealed. One reason is because we haven't made manifest what's on the inside of us. The other reason is because they're either learned and realize that it's sealed, or they're illiterate to anything about a seal and what it is. There's not but one seal in the Bible. That's Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. It's not a seal around a book, and a book that can't be. No. Neither is it a scroll that's rolled up and something that we can't tear off. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The book is sealed, the prophet said, and you're sealed with the book. Not this kind of a book. If you took out the names out of this Bible, and wrote them down, now you've got the book.
Right.
But you wouldn't have anything, now listen, you wouldn't have anything that the Lamb could take and search back to an abstract, original, without it being talked about as a book. But I didn't know he was searching this Bible to find out what was wrong with me. I thought it was the Holy Spirit inside of me searching back through my life to find out what is wrong. I thought it was the Holy Spirit that was telling me where I was wrong. And I need to be corrected. Because you can take this Bible and read that it's not good and you just tear it out and throw it away. What a man told me one time, he said, Corinthians there in 13 about the gifts, just take them out of the book. I said, hand me your Bible. He knew better than to hand me that Bible. I would have bought him a Bible if it cost me $500 to replace his Bible. But he knew what I was going to do. He wouldn't hand me his Bible. Because I was going to take them pages out, because if it's no good, just take them out of it. But you see, it's not this kind of book. You are the book. And the Holy Spirit is the seal.
Well, Kentucky.
That's why the seals is not to the bride. That's after we go into rapture. But we sit back here and see all of these things that has nothing to pertain to us, the tribulation, etc. It don't have anything to do with us, right? But we sit back here and can see. But the book is, you are the book. That's sealed. That Holy Spirit has your life sealed. The prophet said the devil can't get to you. He said, because you're sealed in, he's sealed out. But we want to look at something, but Brother Dale, that's just not interesting. We've got to look at something to rip off and tie off a seal. Oh, I just enjoyed that, brother. This man brought a drawing to me one day, and boy, it had all kind of trumpets on it, had all these things. And I just looked down at it, I said, it don't fit. What do you mean? I said, it don't fit the prophet's message. Well, it's a pretty drawing. I said, I can draw you a pretty drawing, but that don't make a revelation. Because you can't draw a lamb and a lion and put it as one. Right? How much are you going to make lion and how much are you going to make lamb? You can't do it. That's why when John, it said the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed to loose the book. John turned to see the lion. He saw a lamb. Progressive revelation. Do you understand? You are the book. It's about $4.98, I think it is, seal book. I may miss that just a little, but Brother Bannon was explaining how that when the two witnesses would go to Israel, he said they would tell them, say, you miss this. You miss the kingdom. He said, the Gentiles receive this. And said, then it was turned down. You rejected it, and down through time it's been the Gentiles. But said, now it's come back to you. What? The book. Well, I'll get to that on the title deed of redemption. Amen. Searching the book. See, that's where our trouble's at. We want to search everybody else's book. instead of searching in our own book to see. Instead of searching our own lives, see? It's written within, and on the backside is writing also, and then it's sealed. The only way that can be is people. Because outside of that, you're going to add to. And if you don't put enough, you're going to take away. But if you see who you are, thank God He's already revealed us sitting there. On the throne with Him in glory. Think on these things. Come on, brother. Brother Boyd, excuse me. Think on these things. Very peculiar looking book. But if you'll look at it as the revealing of the one true and living God, you'll see that she has to be revealed. Page 74, Christ the mystery, the threefold mystery, all God was He poured into Christ, all Christ in the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. Brother Brown said she's part of the mystery and must be revealed.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to do now, talk about the bride. Because from chapter 1 going on, there's nothing to talk about but the bride. It's not a verse-by-verse description of the Godhead. It's showing where that's at. It's in bride form. The first church age was to get a revelation of Jesus Christ, but they were to make that manifest. Right? Second church age, third church age, four. Why is it, see, in this last church age that it says He's the beginning of the creation of God? And the prophet says, we're the continuation of that creation. So it's unfolding who you and I are and what we're doing. How much more could it be to try to get you to see who you are? But you see, let it go. Because it ain't going to change nothing. Because see, I know one thing for sure. Unless you get a revelation about what I'm talking about, you don't know what I'm talking about. I understand that. I've understood that a long time. I've prayed and cried to seek God to try to get a way of presenting it to help you to understand. But if you can't see what I'm talking about, I know you can't see it. God has to reveal it. And that's why you see people going right on living the way they're living, just like they always lived before, and claiming to be in the message. Because they don't see what the book is. What is the greatest condemnation? May I illustrate it, and forgive me for using it like this, and nobody in particular in mind of what I'm talking about. But what about a wife that's a real true wife? You know, she really does everything she can do for her husband to try to make him happy and everything. Everything she can to make him, you know, to be in his position as a man and as a husband, as a father and all like that. And she does all she can do. But yet you look on the other side of it, in the opposite view, and you see a lady that's just a garbage can. She runs around. She won't do anything. She won't cook. She won't do anything for her husband. It's all just garbage. Now, if you were going to think about which one of those would be the greatest wife, what would you choose? Alright. So Brother Branham one time told about a story, and he said this man got converted. And said his wife told him, said, honey, I realize we're out in the world. I realize that you've done all the things of the world. But said, if you fall, said, don't stay away. Said, come on home. And said, I'll pray with you until you pray through. What was the comment the man made? He said, how could I do any wrong when I know she would forgive me? How could I do that and do something wrong when I know? What is the greatest condemnation? Which would you like the best? The wonderful wife? Could you run around on her on the same basis you could run around on a one that was sorry and low down? You'd try to justify that side, wouldn't you? But what about a wonderful, beautiful situation? What are you saying, Brother Dale? I'm saying this. Salvation brings within our heart a love that passes beyond all understanding. I don't serve God because I'm afraid of going to hell. I serve Him because I love Him. And I'm a failure and I deserve to go to hell. I realize that. I realize if I spent the rest of my life crawling on my knees across the land and repenting that I would never be worthy. But then to think of how many times He has forgiven me and how many more times He will. And then me go do wrong deliberately. No. Bad enough to do wrong just by honest mistakes or mistakes we make. See, God has told us how wonderful we are. I hope you'll get to that point and not read the Bible as bad, how bad you are. Well, I can recognize myself back there with David because I tell you what, me and him kind of like. I'd be very careful about that. Because you're claiming the new birth. David was not regenerated. Well, I just have trouble like David did. I'd get born again. Do you think David in a born again experience would have went to bed with Bathsheba? You better listen. You better listen. But listen, church. I'm trying to get you to see who you are. And that not being a book, that's you sitting on the throne. Where's His power and authority? You want to get down into that? It's put right back into the hands of the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then He turned right around on the day of Pentecost and put it right back in the bride. See, it's not that kind of a book. It's an unveiling of God to see Him, who He is, and where He's at. He's right here. 30-something years ago, I saw that. And I've been preaching ever since then of not trying to go to heaven, but trying my best to get Jesus Christ here. Because if I can get Him here, He'll take me there. But if He's always up there, then I can never get to where He is. Think on these things. Let's stand. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for just being the way I am. But I love the Lord and I want to get you to see who you are and what's going on. If I cross your ideas and your opinions, pray. And come tell me where I missed it. No, you'll go tell everybody else where I missed it. And when you do, that's your problem. Because you're not going into rapture with that way. Come on. I don't mind saying it that way. You're not going if it's that way. We got to get it all straight here, or we're going by the grave. Think on these things. What we got? 288 in the Red Book. Anybody has a need, the altar's open. Lord, it's hard with fear. Oh dear. Let's just believe. Father, Little Rebecca wants a prayer cloth about her schooling. I pray that you'll come on the scene there and manifest yourself. You'll make everything work out for your honor and glory. That you'll manifest yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Think about it. Think about it. We're the book. Do you think in glory that scene? No. What am I talking about? After the rapture, do you think you don't have any problems? It's only on this side, right? And I understand that, but I'm trying to get you to see something. But you can stand right here and say, well, I'm already over there. Because this man's preaching to me where I'm at. The Bible's telling me where I'm at. So God let me see where I'm at. And it'll come right back in this dimension and manifest itself as healing. In other words, you say, by his stripes I'm healed. And believe it. Father, we love you, Father. We ask you to make manifest this atonement to our brother's body. Help him to look over on the other side and see himself sitting there. See him sitting there with total purity of legs, arms, ribs, and everything. And then we just walk toward that. Thank you, Father, for showing us by your stripes we are healed. We love you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus is your name. Amen. Just go believe it and confess it. Confess your way into it and see what it is. See what's made manifest. They say it's pretty rough. We say it all is well.
All is well.
Father, just let everything be all right and our brother goes for these tests. Science says it's a painful thing, but we know that it doesn't have to be. You can take away everything to where there's no need.
Thank you, Lord.
Of anything.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Jesus is your name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Anybody else have a need? Night or noon, many will meet there. Trumpets will sound. Tell him to put it in his billfold and just keep it in his billfold. Father, we send this prayer cloth in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that by your stripes, the one is healed, or whatever they have need of, it's already taken care of. We believe it. We're just asking you to transmit it to them. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, our sister wants this prayer cloth for her daughter, Lord. Let them find nothing wrong. Everything be well and all is glory for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Coming soon, morning or night. Amen. Let's just ask God to sanctify the medicine. And that's what it means for her. Father, we know that medicine that they've given us, we thank you for it. Because you've given it to us for our needs. And our sister has a need or they wouldn't be giving her these things. But now we ask you to make everything manifest in the correct order. to where that it would be totally sanctified and everything would be wonderful for you. When she takes it, she'll come forth testifying that there's no reactions, no problems. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many will meet. Just come and let's believe. Robbie's got to go for some tests on, what, colonoscopy or however they pronounce it. All right. So let's just believe that everything will be all right. Now, I'm like this. I'm sorry for just being honest. But if people say, let's pray that, you know, they don't find anything, that's great. That's all right. I'd rather say, let's pray that they see that there's nothing wrong, but yet they know something was wrong. And now all is well.
Amen.
See? Hallelujah. It's fine to say that they find nothing wrong with us. But see, then when they go in and they find something wrong with you, then you go, down you go. See? No. See, the way I'm talking about, when you go in there and you find out something wrong, you say, but I was prayed for. When we were in Israel, Brother Dean said, you can testify, we had a man there that gave him 6 units of blood. He had a bleeding ulcer. They went down in and found it. It was bleeding. 6 units they had to give him. Same doctor went back and run his test a few days later and could find no sign whatsoever of any bleeding ulcer. So you know God had to step on the scene. The doctor even said, I can't put you on the plane, go home. He said, because I'm afraid you might arrest even human. I'm afraid you might start hemorrhaging again. But see, we believed it and God healed him. All right? So let's believe that away. Let's believe that God is going to take care of all things. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth to Robbie. And believing that when they go in there, that all is well. But they'll have to testify that we know something was wrong, but now all is made well. Because we see a beautiful, brand new lining, you know, and we know and realize something was wrong. We give you the honor and glory for all things, and Jesus is your name. Just believe. Anybody else? Just think about him. That's coming, coming soon. Our little sister's got a real bad rash. Let's believe all is well. Father, we condemn this rash that's on our little sister. Under the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We love you, Father, and we thank you. And you just reach down and touch our little sister now. Make all well. Dismiss it from her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hour. Anybody else just have a need? Just think about him. Somebody on your side. Right? So we're on your side. Father, our brother's having the greatest battle ever fought, truly in his mind. It's between two forces trying to fight it out. But now he has someone on his side, and not us, but the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe you, Father, and all is well. So you give forth the conquering power. It's all in you, Father. In Jesus is your name. Amen. Anybody else? Where we shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. The prophet said, when you're seeing the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Oh, hail the blessed hour. Father, we know the human elements that we all exist in. It's no excuse for us, Father, but it's the truth. That we're having the greatest battle ever fought in our human minds. The devil is pulling so hard trying to destroy because he knows if he can conquer us, all is over with. But we know that we're also already victorious in you. And Father, we take what you say. We believe your word. We believe that you will come on the scene to our sister and manifest yourself in a controlling force that will bring out the real Holy Ghost. And we just ask you, Father, to make it manifest. And let your love be made manifest instead of our flesh. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? He's coming in power, all hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. I'm going to take these prayer cloths to Terrence and Lisa and the little Abby Grace. And also, we'll pray over them before we leave. And just remember, you're the book. You're the book. The writing is on both sides to show the world what we are. Bow down before Heavenly Father, I appreciate. Father, we take these prayer cloths home to the children, Father, because we know that Satan has tried in every way to hinder us and give us the sicknesses and things. But we pray that you would just, Lord, come on the scene and manifest yourself. Father, for a wife also, because we know that Satan, you've done everything you could to hinder, but yet thy word will prevail over you. You are defeated. Sometimes, Father, I wish I could stand up and fight like the devil does, because every time, as a brother said, he gets knocked down, he just gets right back up and thinks he's winning. But Father, it's all over with as far as He is concerned, because we know you've already finished it. You fought it out in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now you've given unto us the thing that you had within you to be able to fight out the battles. Bless us as we go home, Lord, and we thank you for all things. Bless the people. Give a safe journey. May we all be together in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.